Friday, and the original Friday lineup is here, starring, singing backing vocals for the Rolling Stones, Charlie LaDuff. Charlie's good tonight.
I'm retired.
Yeah, how about that, man? How's it feel?
Good.
It's good. It's good.
You got a beer?
Got a beer. Got some champagne. Here it comes.
Yes.
What kind is it? Oh, Jameson's. Oh.
I think 75 minutes is a good idea.
Yeah, it'll be a fine good. Don't worry. Here. I poured you a halfsie. I want you to drink it and then put your mouth to the microphone to see what it does to your innards. Get it real close.
I have a coffee chaser, thankfully. Oh, this will fucking kill me.
Ooh, a little Spanish coffee. Irish coffee. Oh, God. La Jaime.
Right there, kid.
Oh, God.
Oh. All right.
Wow.
Loved his tune, Jay. Really do.
Hey, how'd you like Jumpin' Jack Flash with your clip thing on Thursday that you guys put together?
If you know me, I'm a Jumpin' Jack Flash guy. I thought
that was picked for you.
Get your lips to the mic, man. We want to hear you breathe. Woo! First reaction.
Wow.
Good stuff.
My brother-in-law Pete's in the house.
Pete's in the house.
He's driving by. I thought Pete was a creep. Pete thought I was broken down. I swear I haven't seen you in over a year, dude.
Wait, you thought Pete was a creep? I missed that part.
He's one of them, hey man, how you doing? Let me describe Pete here. Looks like he just stepped out of the wilds of Alaska.
That's quite a beard.
Isn't that a beard?
Yeah, man.
Let me see your hair, Pete. What's going on under there? Still got that big mop of hair?
He's going to have hat head.
You got long hair?
He's got the long hair. He's got the long hair out back.
Anyway, I'm a Jumpin' Jack Flash guy. And Matt, what he did there last night with the going away clip, you know, I saw it on YouTube. But he took all the old stuff that got lost, like first time I was ever in my underpants, whatever happened to the pigeons.
Which, like, is how many times has that happened, by the way? How many times have you been shirtless or pantless?
At least a dozen.
I was going to say.
It's all part of my scheme to undo television and make it come to the place it needed to be.
Mm. 1, 2. Amen. Let me get another ashtray.
Yeah. Caught by a hurricane. And I howl at my mom in the driving rain. Come on, Drew. But it's all right now.
Charlie's good tonight.
Yes. But it's all right. Jumping Jack Flash is a guess, guess, guess. Flint water still not safe to drink. Wow.
Yeah, I just saw a story about that yesterday where, you know, the city's been told by a court that they have to keep delivering 4 cases of water a week to homes that are affected.
Yeah, yeah.
And the city just came out and said, we can't do that.
No, we're broke. We don't got the money.
Yeah, we don't have the resources, money.
They don't have the money.
The continued clusterfuck in Flint is just, it's amazing. It blows my mind. Why somebody hasn't just thrown so much money at Flint that they just say, we don't need this much money. We got it covered. I mean, that's how it should work. And I don't know where the money should come from, but Jesus Christ, you got a city, what is it, the 100th biggest city in America, and they don't have drinking water?
Is it the 100th biggest city in America?
It's the 100th biggest. It was the 100 radio market. I knew that at one time.
Wow.
So it's around there.
It's a need.
What's the question? Like, what's going on? I don't know.
Why wouldn't there be so much money that they have more than enough money
to? Look, nobody cares, man. Look, you know, the way we found out was on the TV here, wasn't it? Aren't we talking about TV? Look at this. Everybody's dressed for prom tonight on the TV news, right? Everybody's dressed for prom because we're not taking it seriously. That's why.
Drinking water?
Nobody. I mean, the reporters, Jesus. The politicians, business, nobody's taking Flint seriously. What do you think? Is it anything but that?
No, I have to agree with you because, I mean, it's either the state or the federal government. I mean, I just would assume that it would get in the Senate or the House and somebody would say, this is an atrocity. Something has to be done.
Didn't they do that? Wasn't there some money?
Yeah, oh yeah. People have been saying that, but they have some money, but they don't have enough money.
Nobody cares about anybody. You know,
and they're behind, by the way, they're behind on replacing the pipes.
Mm-hmm.
And they need more pipes than
they thought originally. And
so,
we're still getting the bids out, right?
Yeah.
What a mess.
Good luck selling your house there, by the way, if you need to leave or you want to leave.
And then there's a murder in the neighborhood. Remember that guy we called?
Oh, yeah. What a screw job.
But anyway, sorry to go back to it. So Matt was finding the old ones, and he used Jumping Jack Flash, but the reason he used it, the first time we used it was, do you remember we did the best mullet story ever? Jay, you would love, did you ever see the mullet story?
I didn't see that.
You've never seen the mullet
story. What's the mullet story?
Holy
I'm not sure.
Crap, that's a famous.
Refresh my memory.
Famous story. We did the history of the mullet for Fox 2.
I didn't see, when did you do that?
Oh, dude, oh man, we did that, you know, it's been 6 years there, but it seems.
So that was an older story.
Yeah, but it was because okay. Guess what? How it ends. My brother Billy used to wear a mullet. Okay, so we get the old gang back together. Billy's now bald, so he's got a mullet wig. My brother Frankie had really long hair, and I had semi-long hair, and we both got our hair cut into mullets. And L. Brooks Patterson, Oakland County Executive, shows up wearing Danny Dukes and a wife beater. He's wearing a mullet wig, and we're all at. A bar in Ferndale doing karaoke Jumping Jack Flash.
No, shit,
oh,
really?
Dude.
Well, we got the story.
Oh, it was great.
I got to take a look at this. I don't think I ever saw this.
This one you could probably listen to. You know what I mean? I know people can't see it.
I get it.
Yeah.
Hey, save the
made a little play-by-play.
Comments. It's my hair. It's what God gave me. Live with it. At least it ain't a mullet. And what's with the mullet anyway?
Mullet? They still do that?
I asked my brother Billy.
The mullet? I don't know.
I asked my brother Frankie.
I don't know.
I asked Oakland County Executive L. Brooks Patterson.
Mullet? I don't have a clue.
Something I'd like to have myself, but like I said, I haven't Bald seen guy. That since Billy Ray Cyrus.
Basically, the mullet is a haircut that is short in front, long in the back.
There used to be an old saying that went with it, that business in the front, pleasure in the back.
Party in the back.
Mullet is... business in the front and fun in the back.
What's that hairstyle, man? You know, where, you know, business up front, party in the rear?
Party in the back, that's it.
Neanderthals wore a mullet. The Egyptians wore mullets. A faction of 6th century chariot racers wore mullets, and their followers used to riot after the races. This is the precursor to the football hooligan mullet.
Wow. Who invented the mullet?
I have no idea. Jesus?
George Washington.
Do you have a mullet?
A powdered mullet.
Good answer.
The founding fathers had mullets.
Well, yeah. McCartney always had a mullet.
The mullet
for a long
disappeared
time.
Until the 1970s rockers David Bowie and Paul McCartney brought it
Thank
back.
You. Hello.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock!
Rock!
The mullet hit its peak in the 80s. Sports figures, country singers, B-list actors, and hockey players all rocking the mullet. It was mostly a white guy thing.
David Spade. Joe Dirt.
But Latino and black
Little
guys
Richard.
Had
Little
their
Richard.
Own spin on it.
It's going to come back, I'm telling you.
When I think of a mullet, I think of a pack of cigarettes rolled up in a, you know, rolled up in a sleeve. It just looks dirty. It emanates dirt. Oh, definitely white people. Yeah, definitely white people.
I remember those rites of passage when you could grow your hair a little longer. You got out of knickers and got into corduroys. You're really styling then.
Knickers?
This photograph. It's of a guy with a mullet, and he's not dirty. He's wearing a tuxedo. That's you, dude.
Explain this.
Your brother.
Well, this was, oh my God, 1979. This is when I launched the petition drive for the death penalty.
Well,
El Brooks had a fucking
true,
mullet.
But
yeah.
I mean, I really pulled it off.
The mustache comes there from a hunting accident. I was up north. And when I shot at the deer, the recoil caught my lip, so I had a few stitches and couldn't shave for a couple months. And didn't walk around with this gun the rest of my life.
By the turn of the 21st century, the mullet was all but extinct.
Never saw a real live mullet.
I don't see the mullet much anymore.
Where would we go if we wanted to find a lot of mullets?
Downriver?
So I went downriver.
Good call.
Yeah, look at that. Everybody's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm bringing the mullet back.
And my Who is this dude? Says,
That's not snow in his hair either.
Cyrus is bringing the mullet back. I said, no, Dad's bringing the mullet back.
Bill Gibson,
back
mullet
my
guy.
Mullet.
A lot of times people see the mullet and they instantly think Southern idiot, but that's not really the way it is at all. There's a lot of educated people that actually have the mullet and wear it well.
Lou Atkins, mullet guy.
Turns out mullets are people just like you and me. Mullets like to rock. Mullets keep America moving. Mullets love their children. Mullets love their neighbors too. Maybe I was wrong to put down the mullet. The old saying taught to me in church comes back to mind. It's not what you look like on the outside. It's what you are on the inside.
A lot of things beyond appearance that make a person what he is or she is. And hopefully that's how we judge each other.
What would you do if your son showed up at home with that?
I would support him. I would support his decision to look ridiculous.
So fly your freak flag, wear your mullet, your dreadlocks, your toupee, be proud. Because being who you want to be is what makes life a gas.
Mel Brooks.
Look at that. That is awesome.
That is fucking great. How much alcohol was consumed for this?
Police showed up afterwards. No doubt about that.
My brother's trying to play the L. Brooks Patterson card.
In Ferndale, Charlie LaDuff, Fox 2 News.
At the end of that story, man, the police put my brother in the car in handcuffs. My what? Brother emerges from the car in handcuffs and goes, wow, that never happens.
Which brother?
Billy. Who else?
Right.
Man, it's funny seeing you do a human interest story because you've been doing so much serious stuff lately.
Yeah, well, you
know. About all these funny stories you used to do.
Yeah. Again, you know.
It's quite a portfolio.
It's a bit of gas, man.
Yeah. So there's the question right there. And I want to say this. I envy that you found a finish line because that's one thing I hated about my radio career was it seems like there's never a finish line. It's like, you know, you hit the top. You're supposed to stay there. You're supposed to stay there. You're supposed to stay there. You're supposed to do it forever until you absolutely can't or somebody knocks you off. And
then you're a failure.
Yeah, and then you suck and you're old news and fuck you.
Yeah. Not me, man. Well, I don't care what people think in that way.
I don't really care either. It's annoying, but it really didn't guide my decision-making. But I just felt like there were a number of times I felt like in the late 90s, in the mid-aughts, and after that where I felt like, you know, I wish I could cross the finish line and take a year off and do something, you know, but you just can't really do that.
You're doing it right now.
No, I am. You're right.
So, you know, you're at the peak of your powers. That's admirable, man. You know what? I put so much effort into it.
That's why I wanted a finish line.
Yeah,
because I felt like, you know, I need a fucking break. I need to do something else or do, you know.
I'm living my life. I do it a lot. I do it periodically. You know, I'm going to leave the New York Times and I'm going to raise my infant. I'm going to leave the Detroit News. I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to stop now and I'm going to take a breath because I know this, the only thing you can get back in life, you can get money back. You can get possessions back. You can't get your time back. You know?
Right. And on your deathbed, you could be going, God, I wish I'd done more stories at Fox 2. Fuck.
That's the finish. Yeah, exactly. You know, there was a woman at the New York Times. She said, I don't have anything. I don't have a family. I don't have children. I'm going to be on my deathbed with a box of clippings. And she died of cancer. And she was a great lady.
Well, that sucks.
I know. You know, so like you said, I mean, at first, this was just funny to me. I'm just going to make some stuff, you know, like this was fun. And this came after Sherry Margolis' husband died and, you know, he was doing a book reading and his car was hit by a truck. And in some small way, I just wanted to make her laugh. I just wanted to make everybody at Fox to laugh. And, you know, because it was so sad, our station manager had taken his own life. So it was just a really hard time there. And you try to just do some stuff.
Was there anything as far as timing? I mean, was the, you know, it seemed suspiciously close to the election. I don't know if that matters or if that had anything to do with it.
What are we talking about? About me
walking? As far as you leaving.
My contract ran out.
Oh, okay.
I didn't quit. I honor my word. I put my signature on it. I do what I say I do.
Right.
But, that was part of it, sure. Like a big culmination in American life. I was in the middle of it. I was doing the Americans for all those years. I didn't get fooled like the rest of the media. I know what's going on in America. I know the difficulty and the pain and the uncertainty. You know, I know the riotous nature of things. I know the anger. I know how we've been, you know, thrown aside, we regular people. I know how we've been put down by the media. I know how they don't know us. They don't go into our homes. I feel I did a good job there. And I'm proud of what Matt Phillips and Bob Schettelbauer and I have done all these years. And I would truly liked a little more respect for the work, you know, within the corporate confines. That's okay. I leaving now and people reaching out to me, I'm really quite overwhelmed. I didn't, you know, no, I didn't know that I meant something to people. I
thought that's really hard to believe.
I didn't know it that way.
Because all I have to do is walk down a block in Detroit with you and see people literally pulling their cars over and go, Charlie! I mean, and there's no, you reach every demographic, zero to death.
But I don't know if that's like, that was a cool mullet story or you're on TV and it's interesting to see a quote unquote celebrity, a local TV news reporter is a celebrity, you know what I mean? But
in Detroit,
well, that's
absolutely.
That's how it is in regular towns. You know, that's the closest mm-hmm. we're getting. But I didn't know the notes people sent me. They remind me of the things that we went together, me and their families, the gravestones and the funerals and the tears. I was actually kind of stunned last night. I was stunned. And I just want to say I do love you all. Some of you not so much. But I do. I know I love your children. We share a community. There's so many things messed up. I don't want us to give up on each other. We got nothing if we don't got each other, and we really don't. And I'm not going away. I'm just taking a break, man.
You know what you want to do?
Yeah, I need $3 million. No. I throw the biggest fucking party. I'm working on a book. I'm working on a book about my time during this cycle.
Oh, cool.
Carpooling with the Klan and...
Yeah.
The Flint.
I love that they included that. You know, you want a cracker?
I mean, so that's a pretty... I've been living a good life, man. It's been insane. I make sure I get myself in the middle of it. And write it down before it gets lost, because that thing that you watched last night, you know, the greatest hits, all that stuff got erased, with... switchovers to technology and internet providers and all that. And Matt, you know, is pretty genius. He dug it up. I thought it was gone forever.
Well, that's good to know.
So I want to write it down, you know. Books will last as long as the sun will last.
Well, I have to give you credit, especially, you know, since I've been paying really close attention, more in particular the last probably 4 years since you've been at Fox 2. And I forgot what story was it that I went, bam, and I went, who is this fucking guy?
Which one was it?
Well, I know one of the stories, but I know this wasn't the story, although this story drove me to say, let's get this guy on, was when you discovered that you were part black. And it was a great story. It was a serious story. And it was a good story. But I thought it was cool. And something about that story really hit me. I was like, let's call Charlie. But I'd seen other stories before that I really liked, but I hadn't really had the full Ladoff effect until I started really, you know, like, I'm really paying attention to this guy now. I'm really aware of when you're on. I'm really aware of what you're doing. And from that point on, I can honestly say that I never felt that, you know, he's on the wrong. He doesn't have the heartbeat right now. He should be doing this story. I mean, especially once you started doing the Americans, you were in all the places as it happened, you know, from Ferguson to the border,
yeah.
You know, to out west at the big, what was the thing in the Dakotas?
The oil boom.
Yeah, no, you just were right. You had your finger on, you know, the heartbeat.
You know what's funny about that? We have a map. We had a map in our office, and we would mark where we went, where we drove, like how much of America have we seen. And the Trump thing did not surprise me. I'm not going to say I called it, but I think you all remember I said Michigan would be in play. And
we talked about it.
Yeah, we did. We looked at this map. I walked in. And I said, holy fuck, we nailed it. Like, Florida, you know, the I-4 corridor?
Yeah.
Remember we did that?
Mm-hmm.
With the Puerto Ricans and then the strawberry pickers and Daytona 500, North Carolina. That's where we hooked up with the KKK when they're going down to South Carolina to protest the Dixie being taken down.
Yep.
We did so many stories in Virginia. We did so many stories in Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, of course, Wisconsin, Chicago, which isn't a swing state, but Nevada, Colorado. We did them all. I think we really, and we did crazy shit. Like, remember Clive and Bundy?
Oh, yeah.
And they're holding the government.
That's what I was trying to remember, Clive and Bundy. That was the story I can recall.
And then a year later, we're in Oregon with his son taking over the bird sanctuary. It was like a reunion. And all of a sudden, it clicked. I am very proud of the work we did, and I'm very thankful to Fox for letting us do it.
Somebody just, I swear to God, I got home and I was like, I got a few things I wanted, a few notes I wanted to make. I was tearing up the paper a little bit, and I was watching my email, and this one came in. I swear to God, like 5:05, it was to Charlie, and he obviously didn't know you were on email, but he said, Charlie, have you thought about running for mayor? And we had just talked about that the other night, which was so... surprised me what you said about that.
Yeah, I was going to run. I was going to run, but I didn't have time to change my residence. You know, I'm in Oakland County here. Close to
Elric would have busted you.
No, he wouldn't have, because I'm not going to cheat.
I'm just kidding. No,
I would have busted me. But yeah, I was going to, and I had...
We have to have a year in the city, is that it?
Yeah. That means as of this past May, but, you know, obviously I was busy, so... I mean,
at what point did the idea occur to you?
Years ago.
Really?
But, you know, I mean, not many years ago, because many years ago I had said, people asked me and I said, stop electing amateurs. Stop making it a popularity contest because you're screwing yourself. But after so many months and years looking at municipal machinery, bonding mechanisms, the whole thing, yeah, it's we're at a crossroads here. Is it big money, big power brokers, and we bow to them, or is it we share, we create a equitable society, and we all get a little bit of the fruit? I think this next time coming around in Detroit and the election is less than a year away, ask yourself, what do you want to see? Now, you looking in on the outside, see a hockey arena, you see some developments, but the money doesn't translate to the people. You don't go to the neighborhood. You don't know what it's like to live in the neighborhood. You don't know what it's like still to have to wait for a cop. You don't know what the cops get paid. You don't know what the ambulance thing is like. And they're going to throw all kinds of statistics out there, but many of them aren't true, and somebody needs to stand up there and direct an administration. Let's face it, administration is only going to do a couple things. You're not going to cure the ills of society, are you?
Well, they've never fixed the neighborhoods. I don't know what you do in the neighborhoods, honestly, but they haven't. They've done nothing.
Here's what you do. Cops show up on time, two to a car.
Be nice.
Three if you're special operations. The ambulance actually shows up on time and not a pickup truck ahead of it to click a stopwatch saying we got here. You use that demolition money properly to clean up the neighborhoods and put wholesome soil back in the holes. You don't use it to create a political empire in which you're moving forward. We're at a crossroads. It's quite easy. I'm looking at Trump. We all want something new, but look what we got. Watch this. Watch, everybody's a Wall Street fat cat. Watch what's going to happen. I didn't vote for Hillary. I didn't vote for Trump either, but watch. Mega tax cuts to spur the economy, and it's going to blow a hole in the budget. And don't.
Well, the deficit's going to be monstrous.
Yeah, and
as if it already is monstrous, right, but it's going to be bigger.
It's going to help us grow. Really? We've been doing that for 30 years now.
Well, growth's been a little iffy lately, not where they like it to be, but it's not like we're hurting that bad at the moment.
What, you mean the United States?
Yeah, our growth has not been at the levels that they like it to be.
Are we certainly going to sit here and talk about monetary policy, money supply?
No, no. And you know what? I remember Dennis Miller saying, the deficit, who fucking cares about the deficit? And it's true, really. What? How many times does the deficit really bite us in the ass? But, I mean, we're talking about a corporate taxes 35 to 15. That's, you know, maybe that will stop some people from leaving the country. If it does that, that'd be great. If people come back, I don't know.
If and buts, man, I don't know. I mean, it really? So we already know that, okay, the corporate tax rate is 35%, but nobody pays it.
No.
We know like half of the top 500 companies or a quarter of the top 500 companies don't pay anything.
Well, no, aren't you tired of hearing that? It's like,
I am. I'm paying.
What do you mean they don't pay it? How do they not pay it? Why are there loopholes that allow somebody to not pay taxes? That's ridiculous.
And then
somebody
they tell me they're going to close the loophole. And
they never do. They just add more pages. The tax law just gets thicker and fatter and fatter and fatter. And
how is it that I, singularly, as a taxpayer in the state of Michigan, me, my household, has paid more in state income taxes than every single business in Michigan combined? They paid nothing in the last fiscal year. That's how many sweeteners they got. That's how much.
Oh, the tax credits.
Tax cuts.
Right.
Like, so how are we supposed to keep this thing going? Friday night, baby.
Good question.
Cheers. Who is Jay shot?
Woo! Woo!
Is that
Is
that a Snyder thing?
Single business tax.
Well, you know, the redefinition of the tax code, moving it around. Yes, the Republicans. Having said that, those mega tax incentives, and they're not tax rebates. These are cash payments, right? That's Grand Home. This is all of them, man. There's a reason we didn't like Hillary. There's a reason we didn't like Jeb. It's the damn system. And I'm not calling for a revolution. Who would? The beer truck doesn't show up during the revolution. He's, I'm not going. Reginald Denny figured that one out. I'm not going through there, man. Nobody wants a revolution. I want some equity.
How is Reginald Denny these days, I wonder?
I wonder.
All I know is he forgave that guy that beat the fuck out of him, and I would have never forgiven that fucker.
My God. No, so in the spirit of the holidays, like Reginald did. Like Reginald did. I'm sure the guy wouldn't want to do it. You know, that guy with the cinder block?
Yeah.
He's older now.
He's still on that same block, man.
Who is? The dude with the cinder block?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Unless he's dead.
Have you talked to him lately?
Yeah.
Well, Pete knows.
I'm with you.
Yeah, he's still there.
I think you're right. Did you have a favorite story or two? Of all those stories, I'm sure it's hard to pick one or two
everybody
out. I told you I love the Meals on Wheels story. I thought that was one of my favorites.
See, I forgot about that.
It's really good.
I did. Finocchio. You know, Ficano and his nose kept growing.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
Ficano stories were really good. That was a series. I mean, that was
a fucking soap opera.
Charlie. I just love hearing him in that frustrated tone say your name. Damn funny.
I got tempered by that guy. You know what I mean? For my friends and your friends listening, I will not get bullshitted. I learned a lot there. They went after my job. They went after my car. They went after my reputation.
After your car?
My shit got slashed. My tires got slashed. I don't know who did it. I'm sure I had a private dick. That's who it was in front of my house. I'm not saying Fecano didn't shit, but it was there. I knew, you know, I'm savvy enough. I knew who it was. But I'm not going to be bullshitted by press releases and phony facts. Look at this jail now. Fuck that. Watch this. There's probably, maybe, I'm hearing. I don't know. Wait, I'm not the media. I could say, I'm hearing there's going to be some indictments next week on the Land Bank shit.
Well, that's that would be interesting.
No, it's true. Hey, Drew, we're getting ripped off.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah.
All the
fuck
good
yeah,
old boys have said, we just came out of bankruptcy and the mayor's in prison, and now we got some bullshit going down again, and this mayor vouched for it. Now what are you going to say? I didn't know.
Stunning and mind-boggling. I would never in a million years have thought that anybody would attempt that kind of bullshit after what we just went through. I would not deign to believe anyone would have the audacity to even think about that. But what do you know? I guess that's maybe a good time to try it. So well, maybe not so good.
Watch this. Ask yourself. This is what I sit around doing with people I know. Here's a shot for you, Drew.
Oh, boy. Yeah, fucked.
What's with all the fucking press conferences so far? Right? Pistons moving down to Detroit. Yeah. Yeah, right. Great.
Woo!
Then you find out the deal's not done.
Also, more tax dollars needed.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to have to refinance
those bonds. $55 million or something?
Right. But remember, the deal's not done. City Council didn't know anything about it. What's the mayor in such a hurry for?
What's he? Tell me.
Because the week before, he ran off to China when the feds raided the land bank.
Mm-hmm.
PR. What we get now? Ooh, Brush Park's getting developed. Is it? What'd that cost?
I don't, you know, the Pistons moving downtown, I'm still a little befuddled by, I'm glad they're moving downtown.
Yep.
I think it's great.
Yep.
But I'm trying to figure out, like, the concert part. How are we going to lose some concerts in this deal?
No.
No?
Not going to lose any concerts.
What, you think the Palace will still throw?
As I read it, Goris and Illich, those two entertainment companies, are going to sort of combine.
Yeah.
So they're going to create a mega entertainment company. No, it's going to be plenty of concerts.
But we're losing Joe Louis Arena and the Palace. It sounds like we're losing Joe Louis Arena and the Palace as far as venues, and it'll all be at that one venue. How can they possibly have enough open nights?
They're going to make
Pistons
it so.
And the Wings.
But remember, you also got whatever Pine Knob's called now. What's that called?
Yeah. DTE.
You got
Meadowbrook.
I mean, you're going to have what you
Freedom
the,
Hill.
You got the Opera House, right? You got all kinds of stuff. I don't think there'll be a problem. The point is,
Fox Theater.
How are we going to share the revenue? Is the city going to get any revenue? Let's stop that. Let's do something more fun. I'm sorry. See, I got to get out. I used to do mullet stories, and now I'm talking about on Friday night. I'm doing bonding that's bullshit.
That's what I said, man. When I saw that, it was like, hey, that's the because you know when I first started really paying attention to what you're doing at Fox 2, you were doing a lot of funny stories. They were really fun, and it was a mixture of. And the last couple of years have been really heavy. I mean, I can see why you felt the need to hit the finish line there when you did because it's a lot of pressure. And you're getting sued. How many times were you threatened with a lawsuit in the last couple of years?
In the last year? From Duggan alone? Plus or minus? Five.
Five?
From the
Just
mayor
from Duggan.
From the mayor of the city.
And what, every one of them dropped?
They never went forward with them. Bring it, Mike.
So how much
no,
you
no,
suppose...
No, let me do it. I don't work for anybody now. Bring it, Mike. I'm the only one call you bullshit. All the shit you've been doing all these years, the little redneck from South Livonia. You're from North Livonia. Your daddy's a judge. My mom's a florist. Tired of it.
How much do you think the city spent?
Who you want?
How much do you think the city spent on just threatening to sue you?
The people! Sorry, dude. Sorry. My brother-in-law raised his fist. The people!
What was the basis of... those threats, man, harassment.
Defamation.
Defamation, libel.
Like I said, you got minions. They couldn't run the candy store. I stand by it. They couldn't run a candy store. Where are they? By the way, that whole deal, everybody was threatening to sue me over I was defaming them. They're all gone. He did it real quiet.
The demolition people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love you, Detroit and Metro Detroit and United States of America. Not me. And I will walk on a corner, and I will suck fucking tear gas. and I will not get run off a corner. I won't do it. You have to take me down. Okay, maybe it's a little dramatic. maybe the whiskey's working.
It works, man.
I'm not getting run out of Ferguson. I'm not doing it. I'm not those pussies in makeup that use a telephoto lens and then tell you what's going on.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of that. No, that was a great story, too. That was one of the best. Yeah.
That brother was real, man, and that's our guy.
Yeah.
Anybody that's a guy, that guy's the guy. And here's the media. I came back, man. It was a sad, sad night. I came back to the shit motel room. You know, you pour a drink. You turn on the reruns of cable news.
Mm-hmm.
And they're you know, the animals. Look at that. And I knew it. It was 50 drunk guys tearing shit up.
Right.
Well,
it always
is.
You
didn't see that guy. Yeah, but you never went in and watched the guy risking his life, the black guy, for the Arabs party store. And meet and party store. That's what it was.
Oh, trying to save it from getting trashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And telling them, you're not even from here, motherfucker. This ain't what it's about. And then, going back, I tried to find that brother, that man, excuse me, that young, strong man. And I asked the owner of the store, you seen him? He said, yes, he came to ask for a job. I said, you give him one? No. I said, you wouldn't have a fucking store without him. Are you serious? Because I asked them, did you see the story? And they had. And you didn't give this dude with kids who looked out for your shit.
Cocksucker.
With his fucking.
Burn it down. Arm. Burn it down.
And that's just a guy. You know, this isn't like, it's a black guy. It's an Arab guy. It's a white. It's just, some people are just different. And if somebody say my store, you got it, you're with me for life, dude.
Well, Arabic people and black people have had a difficult history in a lot of cities.
Yeah, they have. And white people and black people have a difficult
situation.
And Arab people and Christian people, white people. Well, a lot of Arabs are Christian, but brown and white, white and black, black and red. Yeah, this is the greatest experiment in the world of the United States because the human nature is to be tribal.
In Chicago, the rub is that in a lot of those neighborhoods, a lot of the black neighborhoods, the Arabic people have businesses, and they're entrepreneurs. And unfortunately, they've been forced to put bars up, and you know, have the glass in front of the clerk, and a lot of the black people feel that they overcharge them. And they don't give them credit, and they feel like, you know, you just come in here to take our money and you don't give a shit about the neighborhood. And the business owners feel like, hey, I got people stealing from me all the time. I have no choice. What am I going to do?
Where'd you get that?
Huh?
Where'd you get that, Spike Lee? Remember that movie? Well, you know, in Milwaukee.
No, it's just in Chicago, that was a lot of the rub.
Man, you know, in Milwaukee, it was the things that aren't told. Remember that one lit up?
Yeah.
The gas station owners were maybe East Indian, I think. And some black kids were shoplifted or whatever. And then the storekeeper got pissed off. And he fired a couple shots in the air. Went outside and fired them in the air. So imagine what the neighborhood's thinking on that. Okay. So it's already on high boil. Now, part two. Somebody gets dropped in front of that gas station a couple days before the cop drops the black cop drops the black guy. So all these things are in play, like you're saying,
right
immigrants and anger and being stuck in your place and you don't care and you're lighting a gun off and shoplifting, and it's insane. Nobody can really know what the country's about. Not really. It's Pontilism. It's small, burning interactions over and over and over.
Hey, Jay handed me Reginald Denny 15 years after Rodney King. And let's see. What the fuck is this guy doing?
Wait. That'd be 2007. Man, he could be dead by now.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, it was the last thing anybody did on him.
Yeah.
He had to go years of rehabilitative therapy, but his speech and ability to walk were permanently damaged. And that's why I forgave the guy. He didn't have his right mind.
Was it 92?
Yeah, 92.
Well, dig it. Hello, reporters. So 92, 2002, it's 10 years. Mm-hmm. 2012 is 20 years.
Yep.
2017 is 25. We love anniversaries. Somebody go find Reginald Denny. No, strike that. I'll go find Reginald Denny.
After the trial of his assistants, he approached the families in a gesture of forgiveness. He later appeared in the Phil Donahue show to shake hands with one of them and finally make peace. Today, Denny has left Los Angeles behind. Oh, he's smartened up. Times made many efforts to contact him through intermediaries. They were unsuccessful. Denny largely avoids the media. Not smart. Rarely speaks about his ordeal. Charlie will find him. He works independently as a boat motor mechanic in Lake Havasu, Arizona, where he moved after the 93 trial of his assailants and an unsuccessful lawsuit against the city of Los Angeles. He didn't get anything. He didn't get sue anybody for anything. Friends say he's gone on with his life and has even begun to drive again. He's doing better. It's slow for him, but he's getting... Oh, that doesn't sound good. It's slow for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a fucking mess. Well, I saw him when he actually hugged one of those guys. I think he hugged the guy that had the brick, that hit him with the brick or whatever. And I knew he was fucked up then.
You know, better man
that
than
fucking
I,
guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have shaken that dude's hand, man.
Fuck him. Yeah, so there you go. That's Reginald Denny 9 years ago. Who knows where he is now?
Hey, Jay, you don't have it. I think I exclusively have it. A demo. Rodney King did a rap tune called The Beatdown.
Wait, you did it? You did a demo?
No, Rodney King did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, that's how he. One of the ways he lost his money. Rap career.
$4.4 million?
No, I wrote in the New York Times because I had spaghetti dinner with him, like at the Spaghetti Bender.
Uh-huh.
I said, Rodney King, living the American dream, which is to catch a lawsuit, get a settlement,
yeah,
buy a big house in the suburbs, and subsequently move into smaller and smaller homes.
I saw him on Celebrity Rehab. He was in a very small house, and it was a fucking mess. It was a disaster.
But he was a cool guy.
He was a really nice guy. He was the nicest guy in that whole group of fucked up celebrities. He was by far the coolest guy. Everyone liked him.
Here was the unspoken or the unanswered question of the interview. He said, I don't want to be remembered just as that guy, you know?
Yeah.
Who just took a punch and riot started and my line of, can we all just get along, which is a beautiful sentiment, becomes a punchline. He said, I don't want to be remembered for that. And I said, then why did you just produce a song called The Beatdown? I stumped him. Because the answer is easy. It's an easy American answer. The cash.
Well, they gave him a load of cash.
But, you know, like, no, they didn't. They didn't.
He didn't get the $4.4 million?
It was $4.4, $3.8. The lawyers get half.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You get taxed. You make a rap record. You buy a big house, then a smaller house, then a smaller house. You catch about 12 fucking cases.
Well, yeah, it was a much smaller house when, because when he was in Celebrity Rehab, one of the things they did was before he moved out, before he was considered rehabbed, they went. Somebody tipped them off that his house was a fucking, it was like a
hoarder's house.
It was like a hoarder's wet dream. So they went out to his house and they cleaned it completely. I mean, they had like 20 people in there cleaning. And by the time they were done, they put some new furniture in there and it looked beautiful. And Rodney went back and he was in tears. He was so excited. But it was not the kind of house you'd think a guy that won a $4 million lawsuit would live in.
He was. He lived.
I think
in,
there were bars on the windows.
Yeah, there were. His last house was in Rialto, California, up in the high desert.
Oh, boy.
And I had an appointment to meet him, and knock. Yeah. Who is it? Who is it? Yeah. Hey, it's Charlie from the New York Times. I'm here for Rodney. Rodney's not here. You could hear the walker shuffling because he had just smacked the car into a light pole, so he broke his hip. You could hear the chunk of the walker.
Oh,
he goes, Rodney's not here. I go, Rodney, I talked to you on the phone. That's your voice. That's you. He goes, Rodney's not here. Now get. I said, now get. So I'm like, what to do? So I drive down the street. Now remember, it's desert. So you know how it looks. You got this subdivision up in the mountains. Then it's just cinder block walls and a gas station's crap. And I'm sitting there and I don't feel good. I'm drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, and I go to fart.
Uh-oh.
I shit my fucking pants.
Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, I totally
what?
Shit my pants.
At Rodney King's house?
Outside the gas station near Rodney's house. And man, I was like, oh, Jesus. Waddle into the gas station to get the key to use the toilet.
I've never heard this story.
Yeah, man.
Thank God.
Wash my ass in the sink at a Rialto Sunoco. You know.
Is that the place that still has your underwear to this day?
Yeah, I threw in the garbage.
Drawers in the can. Drawers in the can.
I even told my 10-year-old that story.
You did?
Like, it's okay, baby. Papa did it. Sometimes accidents happen.
Yes, sir. This story says Rodney's awarded $3.8 million. So
what did I say?
You said $3.8.
Fucking New York Times. Nice going. Thank you very much.
Bing, bing.
Three
bing,
times
bing, bing.
The one.
What do I get it? I get a shot.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It was the far less than the 9.5 Mr. King had sought. Mr. King. Also, we call him Mr. King now.
Isn't he R.I.P.? Rodney?
Yeah. No, you always. Is that the L.A. Times or the New York Times?
See, employee construction worker at the time of the beating. Yeah, he was a construction worker when he went into celebrity rehab because the clip they showed every time they went to check on him was him leaning out of the truck, going, throwing up on the side of the truck at like 10 in the morning because he was fucked up.
The New York Times, it's called an honorific. You call him Mr. or Ms. or Miss or Mrs., right? Whatever you prefer. If you're not dead, you get that, whether you're a serial killer, whatever you may be. You are called Mr. It's kind of classic.
Yeah.
Being from here. Jeffrey Dahmer's Mr. Dahmer.
Here's a story on what kind of shape were Rodney King's finances in. This should describe the smaller and smaller homes he moved into, I suppose. Let's see. He drowned. I forgot that he drowned. That's right. He's found dead at the bottom of his pool over the weekend. Indication no foul play involved. 47-year-old King just drowned. Press report said King getting his life together. What kind of shape were his finances in? It's funny that somebody did a story about this. I mean, I was curious, but I would not have thought that someone would have actually been assigned this story. He received $3.8 million. Much of it has disappeared by the time his fiance discovered him on Sunday. King was jobless and virtually broke. Fuck. Gone is the settlement money he got for suing the city. Let's see if they mention the rap demo. All $3.8 million of it. Huge chunks went to lawyers, some to family members, some he simply wasted.
Well, mind Jay. What? LaDuff, Rodney King.
King appeared in Celebrity Rehab 2 with Dr. Drew Pinsky, and on the VH1 website, he was listed as bankrupt.
Boring story. Boring. No, not your read, but you know what I mean? It's a journalist.
No, I agree. It's not the most interesting read.
It's like a list of stuff.
He did own his own home in Rialto.
Thank you.
It's in the neighborhood of modest sub-$200,000 residences.
With the Sunoco just on the outskirts.
He evidently bought the house in around 2004 after downsizing out of a larger one.
Mm.
I'm going by a 2004 profile of King in the New York Times.
Mm.
Is that your story?
That's mine.
According to Zillow price trends for the neighborhood, it may be worth less than he paid for it. Oh, fuck, man. Even if he did build up some equity, there's that bankruptcy, which indicates that he had racked up significant debt. I'm looking for the rap demo thing. He was getting by on odd jobs and intermittent construction work. Yeah. 2004, he was drawing on a mutual fund that contained the remnants of his civil settlements. Unlikely he was still doing that by 2012. He may have retained some dividend-paying stocks. I doubt it. Okay.
To you, Rodney.
Yeah.
Here's to Rodney King, everybody.
Here's to Rodney King. We can do better.
But, man, $3.8 million, I still would have thought he could have avoided bankruptcy by...
I mean, watch that. For that? I mean, I don't even know when the settlement came down. I don't know what year he settled. Free O.J., after O.J., after the L.A. riots, what?
94.
So...
around O.J.
That was...
around the killing.
That was pre-riot.
Pre-riot?
No,
after the riot.
192, right?
Yeah.
The riot was 92?
Yep.
So he got 3.8 after L.A. burned? You figure, L.A. burns to the ground. That's worth a couple mil.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
Let's give him his 9 and let's just call it a day.
But it doesn't even last. 12 years after the riots, Rodney King gets along. The 3.8 million.
Look at mine. Mine's better. That's my story. Go ahead, start.
Oh, there you go. Yes. 2004.
Give us a dramatic reading.
The money doesn't even fucking last 20 years, though. 3.8 million. Wouldn't you think you'd last 20 years on 3.8 million?
No, because read that. Because the lawyers took half. So right there, you're down to 10 years.
He's still recognizable, though. He's walked with a limp since he lost control of his car last year, crashed into his house at 100 miles an hour and shattered his pelvis. Fuck.
Crashed into his house?
Crashed into a house. City detectives recognize him. They offer their hands, tell him, stay out of trouble, man. Fathers point him out to their children. He still means something. By virtue of his troubled life and a single decent gesture, he's embedded in the American conscience. Rodney King, whose videotape beating led to the riots that left 55 dead and a billion in property damage in Los Angeles. I like all these stats, Charlie.
Thank you.
Is living at once the American dream and the American nightmare. He's out of jail now and talking frankly for the first time about the riots himself and the American way of life. Dressed in a baseball cap and T-shirt, Mr. King, cut a lean, handsome figure at a pasta house on Sunset Boulevard. He was polite and soft-spoken, a different person altogether from the bewildered man who stood before the television cameras 12 years ago trying to find the best within himself as the city burned around him. Can we all get along? Is what came out. Became a famous line, a simple true philosophy. Then the flames dissipated into memories and became the butt of late-night jokes. Mr. King seems blind to his legacy. Even the most cynical observer has to pity him when he said that he, Rodney King, felt responsible for the riot, that he was the gas can that caused the deaths, the accelerant for the rage that engulfed Los Angeles when the white police officers were acquitted of his beating. I don't want to be remembered as the person who started the riots. I'd like to be remembered for the person who threw water on the whole thing. Part of the solution, you know. I want to be remembered as the person who tried to keep peace in this country, that I did my part.
Brother man.
Mr. King settled with the police department in the city of L.A. for $3.8 million, but much of the money went to lawyers. The rest went toward lawsuits against those lawyers. Countersuits filed by those lawyers. You fuckers. Wrecked cars. A rap label that went bust. All night partying.
There goes your $3.8 million, Drew, right there.
Twice over.
All right, all right.
Keep going.
So what do you tell you about the all night partying, by the way? I want to hear that part.
Well, you know, they arrested him once for being in the park. Naked, jumping up and down on an ice chest. So it was late night. It was early morning. It was partying, man.
There were a number of car-related problems after 94. I do remember that.
Don't snort and drive, ladies and gentlemen.
But it was like he had the L.A. police gold card. They never took his license away. I mean, he always was okay to drive again.
Well, they owe him one.
Yeah, of course. He had the gold card.
Did he have the free pass, like, if he got pulled over?
Fuck yeah. Of course he did. Rod. He moved into a big house in the suburbs and then into a smaller one. There's a little left of the fortune besides a modest mutual fund and the memories. A modest mutual fund. But you can't relive yesterday, he said. Pity is like a narcotic. Once you commence, you cannot stop. He now lives in Rialto, a sprawling desert suburb 50 miles east of L.A. His home is a simple ranch house with sheets for curtains. Did you have to include that, Charlie?
I didn't have to.
It says a lot.
Yeah, they're paying me.
And an unattractive brown lawn. Yeah,
an unattractive brown line.
The words of Charlie LaDuff.
That, come on, man. I got a little talent.
It draws a picture. It does. According to David Guzman, who is working as Mr. King's manager on various projects. What does he pay his fucking manager, by the way?
I didn't ask. Lacking talent.
Most of the money is gone, and he's now living off that mutual fund. And probably David Guzman is, too. Over the years, it's been a string of jail, rehab, hangers-on, and lawyers. Mr. King lives with his brother and his adult daughter, and is close to his mother and his manager. It's an insular life. Oh, wow, there's more. Jesus, this is a long story. I wish I'd had this story in 2004. I'd have read the whole thing, man.
Well, you can stop now. But, you know, like Rodney, for me, it's been an interesting life.
Arrested 11 times?
Wait, oh, go ahead. Yeah, do that. Yeah, okay.
For, among other things, spousal abuse, hit-and-run driving, being under the influence of PCP. He's also arrested for indecent exposure after parkgoers complained about a naked man jumping up. No, it's just... PCP really got me into a wreck. He admitted over a plate of pasta and a glass of ice water. But I was never running through no park buck naked. That's BS. Recently released from jail after serving time in connection with a car crash, Mr. King, he certainly has earned the Mr. here, says he's had recurring nightmares and drugs are the one reliable pacifier.
That's a pretty good line.
I like that.
Where'd I come up with that?
That's great.
I must have been high on PCP.
He uses PCP to calm down.
He maintains he was not high on PCP that night in 91 when he was pulled over in his Hyundai after the police chased him through the San Fernando Valley. Now he's written a rap song about that notorious evening, Beatdown, with Mr. Guzman's help, is shopping it to potential investors. I think it didn't sound like the shopping went too well, eh?
And thus the New York Times gets an interview.
Yes.
Gets something to market.
Among his other endeavors, Mr. King is completing a book about his life. He could use some money. He's not ashamed to admit that. After all, cashing in on your misery is as American as poker and pornography. Have we learned to get along, Mr. King was asked. Since the riots, there have been the O.J. trial, as well as a number of sensational cases of white police officers shooting or torturing unarmed black men.
Dude, what year did I write that?
This is 2004.
What was that line you just read?
Have we learned to get along, Mr. King was asked. Since the riots, there have been the O.J. Simpson trial, as well as a number of sensational cases of white police officers shooting or torturing unarmed black men.
Christ.
That's pretty psychic.
I want to say, you know, can we all get along?
We're working through change, but it's a slow process. Race is the biggest problem we face in this country. I don't have to explain it, do I? We all know what's going on.
Right. But wait, he gives us something. Hold on, I think he does.
Across the supper table, Mr. King seemed sincere when he said he believed this was the greatest, most decent nation in the world. In this political season, as the presidential candidates and news media relive Vietnam and argue the virtues of invading Iraq, Mr. King returned instead to the domestic problems here and now. There are more poor people in this country than rich, he said. We've got to talk about that. Just imagine how much better it would have been if they took the money and built schools rather than spending billions and billions of dollars on killing folks. That could have gone toward a lot of things that could have benefited our kids' future. A man whose name is synonymous with police brutality was asked about the abuse of Iraqi prisoners at the hand. Well, I like that you brought him into this, Charlie. You really made him spread his wings a little bit.
And he's good for it, I think.
At the hands of American soldiers at Abu Ghraib. That's brutality, said, pulling his cap over his eyes. That was cruel. But that's not what we stand for. I don't believe that's what we are. I know our past says different. It's been a struggle to get this far, but that kind of stuff takes us back. There's a saying that carries through the jail cells of America. Every man has committed a felony. The difference between a good life and a wasted one can be attributed to luck and timing. And so Rodney King does not ask for sympathy, but for understanding. Even good guys make mistakes. Nice.
Can you give us a good tune, Jay? Just something cool based off of that.
What about Beatdown by Rodney King?
You was looking at it. Only I got it.
I was going to say, it's not out there.
I'll give it to you for your library. But you just to take a piss, maybe
something cool. Something that rocks a little bit?
Yeah, something cool. Rock me
up. Some Rolling Stones?
There you go.
How about, let's see. I'm thinking back. You can't always get what you want. Wild Horses, that's a love song.
Paint It Black.
Sympathy for the Devil.
Jay just...
Charlie's good tonight.
Make an executive decision. So I told you wouldn't go crazy.
The sitar.
I see a red girl and I want to paint her black.
Is that Brian Jones on the sitar, I believe?
Not anymore, I want them to turn black. I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. I have to turn ahead until the darkness goes.
Where's El Brooks when you need him?
Just remember, believe in yourself. Don't let anybody tell you you cannot. You can. You will. If you want to.
This on? Hey, Charlie's good tonight. We have a special guest, Charlie, one of your contemporaries in the television business.
Oh, there is no contemporary. Okay, there's contemporary. Let me start that. Take two. Go ahead, Drew.
ML?
Is this Pertin's people? Big Al? Hey, Big Al, I love those voices.
You're so close, man. So close. Oh. No, sorry. It's the Drew and Mike podcast.
Okay,
Charlie LaDuff.
Take three.
Oh, shit. I thought this was Dave and Chuck the Freak.
Oh, so close, man.
No, you're close. I got it. Hold on a second. My penis. My penis. Penis. You heard that word? It sounds like penis, but it's like penis.
This is Drew and Charlie the Man.
It is.
Show. Is that it?
Penis
is
looks
that
great.
Third time lucky?
Close enough, man. What's going on?
Right. I got a new office here at Fox. I thought I'd call everybody and let them know.
You got the corner office finally?
He got that used up woman's toilet nobody was using.
Oh, man. Piece of garbage. No, there's a big office that opened up right next to me, and
does it stink like man?
Just a couple of minutes after it opened up, some guy came in and said, "Hey, I just want to let you know I'm taking Charlie's office, so don't think you're going to take it."
Who was that? Was that Wolchek?
I don't really want to.
Was it Wolchek? Report some news,
oh,
dude.
You want to go right now, Al?
Oh, shame. Sorry. Something in my throat there. Oh, shame. Yeah. But that, something like that happened.
Well, you sounded like suspicious.
Really?
There was a higher pitch to your voice. I think I know who that was. I think Charlie nailed it.
Sorry.
Man, do you know what it took me to get those cinder blocks painted?
Oh, unbelievable, yeah. The
Hall of Shame just moved in.
Yeah, I think Matt stood his ground, so I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I got to tell you, I'm getting some interesting sounds on the other side of this paper-thin wall over here, so
it's big enough for everybody.
Well, just like our love for Charlie, there's enough love for everybody. It's kind of a beautiful... You know, the day before Charlie left, or maybe it was the day after. It's kind of a floating deadline.
Yeah, which one is? This has been like 3 years in the making.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no. I mean, we were out, we're there together for that Friday night, which was your last Friday. Then you came in on that day to make it official. But I got sent to, we're short reporters on Monday, so I got sent to a couple of daily stories. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, get used to that, brother.
I'll do my part for the team. Well, what do they send me to? They send me to a press conference with Mike Duggan and Dan Gilbert, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, now where the hell is Charlie when we need him? And those were two of the most relieved-looking dudes in all of Detroit. They're like, oh, good, it's Elric. Mm-hmm. That's the first time Detroit politicians have said, oh, good, it's Elric, because they're afraid it might have been Charlie.
I don't think you're much of a relief, but that's funny you say that.
No, between Duggan and Gilbert, you got 10 feet of guys who are really afraid of Charlie.
Charlie's one of the only people that when it was announced that the Wings were moving downtown, when it's announced that the Pistons are moving downtown, doesn't just go, oh my God, that's great! Because there are all those little things, all those little tax dollars. And, what?
Yeah, no.
Shouldn't be awkward.
No,
it's
just
true.
No.
You weren't, I mean, when everybody's going, oh, what a cool new arena, you're the guy that's saying, and actually ML would be the guy that would say it too, I would think, well, what's the deal here? How did it get done? And how much is it going to cost the taxpayers? And why are the taxpayers spending all this money for these fucking billionaires?
You were at Brush Park, right?
It's funny you should say that, because my question for Duggan and Gilbert was, how much public money is going into this housing project you're talking about? And they said, almost none.
They said almost. Oh, almost none.
Almost none. Okay, how much did this property sell for?
Almost nothing.
Bingo. So you get it one way, you get it the other way.
Hey, man, it's the deals get done, right?
What, and man? I'm telling you.
Dealt out.
Mike, I'm telling you. I wrote that in my book, man. Detroit is not some crazy Frankenstein. It is the epicenter of everything going on in America. You know, big money, sweet deals, people left behind. It's best of times, the worst of times. We're living in Dickensian times. I believe that.
There's a lot of big. There's a lot of big money in Detroit right now, though. I mean, what this auto parts company just came in, put their headquarters there. Was it Ariant or something? I never even heard of the company, but
yeah, they're going to move into the Marquette building, which is right across from Cobo. But well, you know, hey, listen, if Detroit was a poor town, we wouldn't have built three casinos, which seem to be thriving. Okay, there's money in this town. The question is, whose pocket does it end up in?
Yeah,
indeed, indeed.
And Nike moved in, and Under Armour's moving in, and I mean, it's these are like salad days for downtown.
Well, I mean, you have to ask yourself, in what capacity have they moved in? Varvatos has moved in. Wahlburgers moved in. What are we talking about? What rent are they paying? Where does the rent go? How
into Dan Gilbert's pocket, probably, right?
Ooh, you're going to get sued.
What?
Well,
what's
wrong
with that?
Because you said his name.
Oh,
it shall not be mentioned.
Just don't say it three times; you'll show up.
Only when you reference the Cavaliers winning the World Championship, is it okay? Say that.
Does that guy you saw him? Does he wear like 3-inch gum-soled shoes? Does he?
I was kind of in the back of the room. Being Irish, they keep me near the servants, so. Everybody was standing on a riser, so.
How does he always have a line? ML.
What's that? I'm sorry.
You always have a line. It may not be the best line, but you always have a line.
Yeah, and you know where it's leading? The unemployment line. I got to be careful.
See what I tell you? He's always got a line. Motherfucker.
You guys got me in trouble with the Free Press back in the Kwame Kilpatrick days because I think I said something. They're like, okay, you can't do that show anymore for a little while. It's like, what did I say?
What?
You want to go right now, Alric?
Yeah, no. Sometimes my lips move faster than my brain.
Wait, before he was going down?
I think it was in the wake of the text message stuff. I got in trouble for a couple of things I said on different radio stations, but I think these guys didn't listen to you guys, but somebody clued them in and said, you got to check out what's going on the radio.
You know who started listening to us who would call frequently was Matt Allen?
Oh, God.
Remember that guy?
Former Fox 2 employee. Not
was he?
Not Charlie LaDuff quality, but yeah, he was. He worked here before he went to go work for Kilpatrick.
Yeah, he would call in frequently with corrections.
Yeah.
Which were not truly corrections, though they were spin. But anyway,
yeah. Well, I'm not calling to talk about the old days. I'm calling because I have a very heavy heart that my man is sitting next to you and not sitting next to me over here at Truth HQ.
Truth headquarters?
I mean, some days.
No, I know. I was telling him, and I would say the same thing. I could see you. Almost doing the same thing because you have other things you want to do. But I was happy for Charlie that he crossed the finish line because I think it's hard to do in media when you're doing well at something. I always want you to just keep doing it, just keep churning it out. And but it is a big loss for Fox too. It's a big loss for those who like to see people held to telling the truth.
I'm right over here. Hey, wait.
Yeah, he's not dead, but
you're not on the beat every day. You're working on something else now.
Check my Twitter.
Yeah, I think Charlie. It's going to be tough to keep Charlie out of the mix. I mean, I think he just gravitates towards it, man. He gets sucked into that that collapsing galaxy that is Detroit. But it, you know, when you lose a colleague like that, It's not good. That means to be the master of understatement.
No, it's a bummer. I'm sure it's a bummer for the bottom line too, because I know you turn the meters up there when you got a story and they promote the shit out of it. I'm sure the numbers are good. Well, I know they're good. I've heard that.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily trickle down to the to those of us in the mines. But yeah, no, I mean, hey, listen. when you got people,
are you working in a mine over there?
Well, I'm working in a coal mine, just like the old
Move
song.
16 tons, and what do you get? Another but, you know, day when, older and deeper in debt.
When you got a guy like Charlie in your place, it raises the bar for everybody. You know, you can't sleep around here because, first of all, he might come and you know, put your hand in some warm water or something. But secondly, you're trying to keep up. And on your best day, it's tough to keep up like a dude with a dude like that on his worst day. So you better come ready to go because he's not going to let you sit on the sidelines.
No, that's a great compliment, and I know how that is.
Thank you.
It is good. It's great to have people who are raising the bar, and I'm sure it's not good for Fox 2 to not have Charlie doing his thing over there. But
I got two job offers today.
Did you?
Yeah, I will not reveal them.
Hmm.
Well, that was good.
Channel 7 and Channel 4?
No, nothing. Not a peep.
There's some Mac Avenue ho who offered him a job, but it wasn't going to be free. And then there was one that paid him.
I didn't have the five.
That's right. You can't give one of those chicks $5 and ask for change, man. That's not respectful.
Well, look, dude, I don't like doing it that way. I'm like, let's just get a drink. You know what I'm saying? I'm not giving you $5. I'll buy you a cocktail. That way.
Now, there's a line I'm not touching, but I got you. But two of those things are part of that transaction. You got it right. They do go right next to each other. That's where the $5 comes in.
And the back
that's hot and ready.
16
tons, and what do you get? You get another day older and deeper in debt.
St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I don't go.
I owe my soul to the company store.
I can't believe we're playing Tennessee Ernie Ford podcast.
Classic.
Holy shit.
You guys start asking for money, and all of a sudden it turns into karaoke. What's going on?
I like karaoke.
There may be some Jameson going around here, something like that.
Are you in the proximity?
I am trying to keep Rob out of your office.
Oh, so you're still... Wait. It's Friday at what fucking time? 6:45.
I'm chained to the door, man.
I need you to get to the liquor store.
This is Occupy Fox, we call this.
Hey, is there a Hall of Shame, by the way? Where do I go if I want to go to the Hall of Shame and see the busts of all the people in the Hall of Shame, speaking of Rob Walchek?
There is a very cool Hall of Shame. I don't know what you call it. It's like a prop. It's you can have your picture taken under it.
Yeah, it's his marquee back there. Is he in the office?
No, he's on assignment.
He's on assignment.
He's on assignment on Friday night.
He's getting the band, guys.
There's dedication, man. There's dedication.
I said some good stories lately. Actually, I got to admit, I don't know. I'm just amazed at those people.
That guy's money.
Yeah, he's money.
He's money.
I just don't understand.
He's been tearing it up, and he's had a great run of stories, a couple of which have involved Michael Scoopin, one of the greatest Survivor competitors ever, which I've never understood. How can you be such a great competitor when you get out of the game because you fell asleep in a fire?
I know.
Who the hell falls asleep in a fire? Oh, by the way, you're on an island where there's nothing you could consume that would make you fall asleep in a frigging fire.
But he didn't fall asleep. The dummy was trying to stoke the fire and was breathing in the smoke.
Yeah, but you're on an island.
Everybody that's going up north, you're on a peninsula. Do not breathe in the smoke.
He was the leader of the tribe. It was unforgivable, MLA. And
watch this. I know that the bong hits off the fire.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
exactly. Jesus, call the helicopter.
Yeah, he's smoking some of that Gilligan's Island gold. But I'll tell you what, man. When I barbecue, and I'm a coal guy, not a gas guy, and the shit blows in my face, I just move to the other side of the grill. It ain't complicated. I'm just saying, you can't be the greatest Survivor competitor ever if you fall into a frigging fire. Oh, and then, by the way, you ripped people off. Oh, and by the way,
you're a pedophile.
You got a pretty creepy, porn stash.
I know, that really threw me. I knew this guy was, I don't know, I had a mistrust. When he came back from Survivor, and everyone was fighting to have him on like he was Elvis. You know, oh my God, yeah. Can we get him first? And we had him on, and somewhere along the line, I think Mike asked him, well, what do you do for a living? And he, about 2 minutes later, I said, he's been talking for 2 minutes. I have no idea what he does for a living. And when we were done, I asked him, I said, well, I didn't understand what you do for a living. And he explained it again, and I still didn't understand.
Life coach.
Yeah. He said public speaking was one of the things he did. So he ended up saying, I can see you don't understand. Public speaking and computers. He didn't reveal the asking people for money and telling them.
Or selling child porn over the computer.
I know.
That's
fucking
public
creep.
Spanking. But yeah, no.
He's a schemer.
I love the little clip you guys were playing when he was asked, or Rob's piece where he's asked, you know, have you sent nude photos of yourself online? And he says, well, when I was dating someone. I mean, it takes him like 20 seconds to basically say that, yeah, he's sent new pictures of himself. Of course he has. What a creep.
Well, the public speaking, apparently he had to delay some of that because he fell asleep in a fire and it burned his face.
You kind of hung up on that, fellas. Yeah, that's a good point.
I just, I never fallen asleep in a fire before. I mean,
hey man, go home. What are you doing at work? What are you doing?
Yeah, I saw Fox 2 on the phone. That's when I realized we were missing his call. I saw Fox. I'm like, he's calling from work. It's almost 7 o'clock. What the fuck?
Hey man, you said
hasn't your wife called you? Aren't you doing dinner? What's going on?
No, I'm. Man, I got teenage kids. I don't see anybody anymore.
What do you mean?
I'm playing hockey late tonight, so that's my big highlight tonight.
Sweet. So no wife time tonight.
Probably, I don't know. My wife, not anybody else's.
Mm-hmm. She working on a big story?
Actually, we got. I'm in the middle of a big thing that hopefully will come out soon. But
what
don't
is
take
it?
That the wrong way.
What is
but,
it?
well, apparently. It looks like the city might have overpaid for some demolition.
For heaven's sakes.
No, I'm sure that's going to fall.
Not like being topical.
But we do have a chapter. We have a new chapter 10 coming Monday. That should be fun. People might want to watch that out.
Oh, is that so?
Well, one hopes, yeah.
When Charlie was talking about, he was thinking about running for mayor, but he hadn't lived in the city long enough. And I said, oh, well, you knew Elric. There would be another Elric story if he ran for mayor without living in the city for a year. That's one of your specialties, isn't it? Residency?
I get people who don't live where they're supposed to live. I think I'm the only white Mike who's lived in Detroit this long. All the other guys just kind of got in at the last minute.
Yes, so it seems. Hey, ML, thanks for calling, buddy. We'll have to get you in here. What's it been, a month or a couple months or something?
I probably stayed a minute too long on this one. But
no,
have
no,
me
no.
back again. I'm,
no,
I'm
no,
happy
don't
to.
Don't cut yourself short. It was many minutes too long.
You know, actually, that office could use a little sprucing up over there. Maybe this is such a bad thing. It's just... Okay, fellas. Hopefully I'll see you soon, Charlie.
Hey, bro, make sure to change the seat covers. Don't ask.
We have not taken a black light in there yet.
Oh, no. I don't know. I don't know where the bottle of vodka is, but it's floating around somewhere in there.
There's not much left. But one can accuse Charlie of drinking the rot gut. I'll say that for him.
Life's too short.
Hey, have a great weekend. I'll call you next week for sure.
That sounds good. Thanks,
okay,
fellas.
Mel. Thank you. Thanks
for
calling.
See you, brother.
All righty.
Bye-bye. All
right. The egg timer's off.
Egg timer's off.
Yep. 82 minutes. We went overtime.
Excellent.
So, I got a check for you.
What do you got? How much?
More than $15 a show. I'm here to tell you.
Get the fuck out.
Yes. How many shows has Charlie done?
Okay, let's. I'm going to check the accounting.
I'm going to do the math.
There's going to be no bullshit Duggan stuff. I want real numbers.
All right, hang on.
Your numbers better match your numbers.
They'll match. They will, I promise. It may not be what you're worth, but.
Being 10. And what do you get? You get another day older and deeper.
Now, did someone cover this song after Tennessee Ernie Ford?
I didn't go because I owe my soul to the company store. Sing it, Pete.
Johnny Cash. Okay. Johnny's cool. 27 shows? Do you do that many? Shit.
Because I need this fucking check. Because you know what I'm doing, man? I'm doing office work, bookkeeping, mopping toilets at the American Coney Island.
You know, you told me that the other day, and I realized you weren't joking, because you need health insurance.
I need help. Look, man, I think more media should do it. Maybe you should step down for a minute, because they failed. They don't understand people. And do some real work and mop some people's piss. And then maybe, it'll get you back to reality. So I'm doing it.
No,
it's not a gimmick. I'm doing it.
It's really funny. I've talked to a few people about that because we were talking about it before the podcast the other night, and everyone kind of went, I could see Charlie doing that.
I'm doing it because, look, I'm going to make my own decisions about what I'm doing. You know, I've done a lot of interesting things, I think. I've loved my life. But I got a little one, and I got an older one. I got my two ladies, and I got health care but for 30 days, man. And I'm telling you right now that Obamacare sucks. And if you don't got nothing, Obamacare is pretty good. But I never, never in my working life had to worry about health care. Then when I took a look at what the company was doing and all that, holy shit. Because to carry what I got now for my family without any company giving me anything, it's going to cost me minimum $1,600 a month.
I know. Can you believe that?
So $1,600 minimum. Now let's call it. It's not. It's going to be 17. 17 times 12 is fucking 20,000 before tax. That's some people's entire year's earnings. No, I'm out in a fucking toilet. I'm doing it.
No, I think you'll find some satisfaction in that. You'll have contact with the public.
There ain't
going to
be no
want.
Satisfaction in that, motherfucker. I mean, don't get ridiculous.
All right, no, I know you're going to get off
on
it. But
satisfaction in that. I'm in a fucking toilet.
You'll have contact with the public, though. They'll put you in front, won't they? Well, of course they will.
Great. Hey, you know what? Let me get a picture. Let me get a selfie.
Yeah.
You got to be out front, man. And hopefully you'll be back in the podcast making. I figured out. It's like, okay, it's not that much more than $15 a podcast, but $25 a podcast.
You're actually chiseling it down, right?
So I didn't think you'd done 27 shows. I didn't realize you'd done that many. I thought it was like 15 shows, and I was thinking, it's like $50 a show. No, it's more than $50 a show. It's not. It's like $25.
How much does this check?
$1,000.
$1,000? Really?
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to do with that?
Huh?
You know what I'm
going to
do?
What?
Healthcare.
No. I'm going to take that check, and we're going to the Cabbage and Soup Kitchen, and we're going to donate that. We're going to donate some of our time, and we're going to thank the good Lord that we're healthy.
How many people are part of this we? Is this
me, my
this
wife,
we?
And my daughter? You want to go?
Oh, I'll go with you.
You are part of this, Drew.
Yeah. I just sucked myself
hey,
in.
Hey, Pete, man, you're a big-time Catholic. You a D guy, you know?
I'm big not family. A big-time Catholic, but I will.
But you were.
Go with you to the Cabbage.
Okay, and you've been there, right?
I have been there.
And it is right, whether it's a Christ thing or not, to
absolutely
give some windfall to your fellow man.
Helping
oh, yeah.
People. Helping people is key.
Yeah, for sure, right? I would more than willingly take that check. Thank you. I was only joking. We'll make sure it gets to feeding some human beings. And
sweet.
Thanks, brother.
All right.
And do I get a T-shirt? I heard you're selling T-shirts.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, absolutely.
I heard you can't get them anymore.
The mold has been broken. That's true. But some new molds were made.
The mold has been broken. You don't pour a T-shirt into a mold, Drew. What's going on?
I know. Okay. There was never a mold in the first place.
There's no office staff.
Plenty of T-shirts.
Oh, by the way, I noticed Mark's not here. The Twitter guys aren't here. Brandon, Joe. What'd I do?
It's the sixth day of the week.
So they're like, fuck it?
No. I think they're just taking their time because we haven't worked Friday night in a while. And we've been working Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So everybody's...
Well, Jay's here.
He's tired. Jay's always here.
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, Jay's. There's 200 fucking crisp... $100 crisp dollar bills.
What?
What are you giving me these for, Jay?
For the soup kitchen?
Wait, you mean you want to give $200 to feed people?
Fuck yeah.
Let me give them back to you, and why don't you just come with me and my family? Why don't you bring your son? Your son, I met him at the chili cook-off, a lovely young man. Really
oh, yeah.
Good to.
Yeah. He's something else.
Yeah.
What's Beck doing? You doing something Beck this weekend?
Yeah, definitely. Sunday, but he's got like straight A's. He's kicking ass out there.
Okay. Charlie, I know you'll be back. Just a funny feeling.
Am I invited back on now?
Yeah, of course.
I got nothing to do.
You're never uninvited.
You're like the... said was.
No, you were not uninvited.
So was.
No, the last time I asked you, you said, I need more time.
No, you always ask me like that morning. And
it's
I'm like,
Friday. It's always Friday.
I know, but then you're not doing Friday. Everything...
It's happened like twice.
Like, you know, Mark and me and then Mark and Maz. And I don't know what you got going on here, man. This is some goddamn fucking psychological experiment down here.
You were the only consistent person. You were always on Friday. You've never been any day but Friday. So
yeah.
It would think by Wednesday you'd be going, oh, well, Friday.
I want a call.
Okay.
I want to know that I'm a valued part of your life.
Haven't I proven that?
No. No, you haven't. No.
You are an all-day job.
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
I think he'll be back. Hey, we can move him to Thursday now. You can work Thursday now, can't you?
I can't work no stinking Thursday. I can't work no stinking Thursday. But I'll try, and I'll try, and I'll try.
I'll see you Sunday night. Thank you, Charlie.
You can't see nobody. It's a podcast.
Whatever. Thanks for stopping by, Pete.
You got it, man. Love you guys.
Love you too, bro.
More about some useless information.
We'll go write your check.
To try my imagination. I can't get no. No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. Wait for me, Pete. No satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. But I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I can't get no. I can't get no. When I'm driving down the road and I'm doing.
And I'm signing that.
And I'm trying to make some girl.
Can't get
it. It's time to explode. To say cigarettes is me. I can't get no.
Come on now.
No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. That's what I say. Satisfaction. I can't get no good reaction. Cause I try, and I try, and I try, and I try. I can't get no. I can't get no. Riding around the world. And I'm doing this, and I'm assigning that, and I'm trying to make some girl. Baby, baby, come back later next week, cause you see I'm on a losing streak. I can't get no. Thanks for the check, girl. No, 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 get in the mic there. Come on. Hey, hey.
I don't know the words.
Come on, get it. It's what I said. I can't get no. I can't get no. I can't get no satisfaction. Come on, Pete, what you want? No satisfaction. No satisfaction. No satisfaction. No satisfaction. Faction! Drew, hey, Mullet, where we going now, man? Let's get out of here.
Night! See ya!
We done!